You know, we're told in Scripture, aren't we, our praise is acceptable to God. It's going like smoke, incense going up. Our prayers are going up. And we're blessing our God. But you know, we're getting blessed as well though, aren't we? As we sing those songs, as we, our trust not just sing, but look at the words, the way the words can build us up, the way the words reinforce our beliefs. And that's what we've got to be looking at. Keeping looking there. One of the songs there, but with His Word. Yes, God's Word is so important for us, isn't it? I'm telling you things you know, but it's good to be reminded, just to reinforce, to say, right, I want to get hold of this some more. Because we can't fathom the depths of God, can we? You know, or the height of God. So it's a case that He can keep showing us more and more and moving us on more and more. Yeah. Who are we listening to? We're still on there? And how? When God created us, He gave us the ability to choose, didn't He? He didn't make us like robots, which He could have so easily done and programmed us to do exactly what He wanted. But He didn't. He created us with a choice, with the ability to choose. We could obey Him or we can disobey Him. We can follow Him or we can walk away from Him. You know, we can believe in Him or not. Derek Prince wrote, blessing or curse, you choose. A long list in Deuteronomy 28, isn't there? The conditions for both obeying God, for God's voice, and, you know, it's the conditions for both obeying and disobeying. What have we got to do? We've got to obey God's voice, observe it carefully, and His commandments. That's it. That's the only thing we have to do. To be blessed. To be blessed out with cotton socks. You know, or we can disobey and we can get cursed. And boy, you look at those curses. It's a longer list. Yeah. Life can so easily be conditional to us. Our thinking, our expectations, we can be swayed in our thinking by the pressures. They also go back to one thing. Did God really say? Once again, who do we believe? Who do we turn to? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He also said in the prayer to the Father, your word is truth. So how much of His word do we believe is truth? Yes, we've gotten all of it there. I was just going to say, or have we had sections where, I don't like that bit. I don't think much to that. That can't be right. And if you keep going through, you can keep putting lines through bits you don't like, and you can have an abridged version. But is that the Word of God? No. Because if we only listen to what we like, we wouldn't get very far, would we? Yeah. How much of it do we believe? That's a question for us too. Yeah. Yeah. Do we work to gain God's approval? When we look in the Philippians, in Philippians 3, verse 4. Though I also may have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he has more, may have confidence in the flesh, I'm also. This is Paul speaking. What a list of credentials, circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. That means that's his top of the tree. When he's Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. So he was very, very devout if he was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Well, what better credentials could the Jew have? Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Wow. He was perfect. That's what he reckoned there. That's what he was saying. But then he goes on. Paul got his eyes open, didn't he? But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. See, what Paul's saying is, you cannot work to gain God's approval. You can't do things just for, you know, think, oh, I'll get a brownie point here. This, that, and the other going on. You know, how much does God love us? How much? Yeah, more than we imagine. Lots. How wide, how high, how deep is the love of God for us? Yeah, that's how much. It just goes on. And how does God love us? Unconditional. That's what we're told, isn't it? There are times when he might discipline, but what's that discipline? That's not out of anger, is it? It's not out of spite or of hatred. That's out of love that he's disciplining us. We don't like it at times, do we? Because we're like kids, aren't we? We don't like being disciplined, but afterwards we come through and say, I know why God's done that. Or we can get that into a place where we think, yeah, I needed that really, when we're truthful. There's a saying, nothing we can do can make God love us less, or nothing we can do can make God love us more. And that's true, isn't it? So if that's the case, if we understand that, why do people say, I'm not good enough? I can never be saved. I've done this, I've done that, I've done the other. If God loves us, and it's unconditional love, there's a way back. There's a way through. Yeah. But why do people say that? It's human thinking, isn't it? Because we can have difficulty forgiving people at times. We tend to put that on God as well. But he doesn't have any difficulty. Yeah. God's way of thinking. His ways are different to our ways, aren't they? When we commit to God, when we accept Jesus as Lord and Saviour, he's routing for us, or rooting for us, whichever way you want to pronounce it. He's encouraging us. He's helping us. And he's leading us on. You know, and as God's leading us, that's where our choice comes in. Whether we'll allow God to lead us. Whether we'll allow God to do as Paul tells us, to transform our minds. Yeah, we keep coming back to that. And I'm sorry we keep coming. Well, I'm not sorry. It's right that we keep coming back to that. Because we need our minds transforming. I was going to say, is anybody in here perfect? We're all saying, I won't make any comment. We're saying no to that. Actually, but Scripture tells us we are being made perfect. So I think we've got to accept that. We're being, that's right, you heard what I said, didn't you? That's good. We are being made perfect. But we're on the road to perfection, yippee. And you know, if we're going on properly, we should be more perfect today than we were yesterday. So that's something to give thanks for, isn't it? I'm further along to perfection. Yes, that's a sidetrack, yeah. Anyway, are we stuck? Are we moving, being allowed to be transformed and moved on? Or are we stuck in the same old ways of thinking that we can't change? We've done it this way for 50 or 60 years, so it must be the right way. Yes. No. And you think, where am I going with all this? I'm focusing on healing. And that was, if you like, just an intro. I've already stated, I believe God wants us as a fellowship moving forward in healing, in the healing and the miraculous. We've been told that so many times, the prophetic words, and we just need to look at this. Because healing is not for the super elite Christians. Healing is for every Christian. That's what Jesus said. And I pointed it out a few weeks ago that the part of the section where Jesus said that people say is not right, is right. And that they're wrong because they were taking later manuscripts than the earlier ones that stated very clearly the Mark 16, the back end, which is where he will deliver, you know, and so on. So, okay, if that's the case, if we're moving forward with the prophetic words and God's plan for us, why is there so much sickness about? Yeah, and I'm not just pointing fingers here. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. Yeah, but I'm just putting forward, why do we have sickness? One instance, this can be hard for those who are sick. I'm not actually pointing at you. I'm pointing something out that hopefully will benefit and move away from sickness into good health. So why do we have sickness? Why are there so many sick among us? Well, firstly, Jesus said so. In this world, you will have tribulation and distress and suffering. Think, hang on, that's not very nice. Why? It's not Jesus' fault. We go all the way back to Adam. Page is stuck. God created a world that was perfect. Everything our God does is perfect. But Adam and Eve sinned. They chose to disobey. This is something we all know. They were told one thing they couldn't do. One thing. They could do anything else they liked. But we know as parents, don't we? If you want a child not to do something, tell them not to do it. You know? And likewise for us. You know? There's always that, well, why did God say that? And that's where Satan came in and brought the deception in it. So sickness, hardship, opposition were all released when they bit that apple and allowed sin to come in. So it tells us there that God made work was painful. It was hard. It was tiresome. Work is supposed to be satisfying, gratifying, something we enjoy. That's what men are created for more than anything, is to work. God tells us that. And we should get satisfaction in our work. But he said that the ground was cursed. Thorns, thistles, weeds were going to come. That's what God said, because of the fall. And when we say thorns and thistles, we can put that anything that's going to hinder, that's going to obstruct, that's going to be wrong. When you look at it as well, and the account tells us, it was only after they sinned, they feared. They weren't fearful up to that point. Now, if you remember, we're made body, soul, and spirit, aren't we? And if one of those three is out of balance, it affects the other two. And I think we all know that. Fear is a precursor to sickness. When we start fretting, when we start getting anxious, what comes next? Headache. Or other things. We can knock the whole of our body chemistry out of balance when we're thinking incorrectly. Anything that stops our inner peace is a potential, that within us is a potential health problem. Because once the peace goes, something else is happening. Just a thought that came there. Things that get knocked out of kilter, our skeletons can get knocked out of kilter. How often have ladies been prayed for the leg to be lengthened or for the hips to be put right, because they normally carried a baby on one hip and that knocks the skeleton out of line. Or else, or you could say for a bloke carrying his bait bag. If it's a bit out of line, you know, if we're walking lopsided. Soon as you get something hurting, you take pressure off that, don't you? And put more pressure on the other side. So we're out of balance. So it creates more problems. So anything that stops our peace within us is a potential health problem. Second reason, the people of God are sick and dying. Why? Sorry, next one. When we look at Hosea 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge of my law, where I reveal my will, because you, the priestly nation, have rejected knowledge. I will also reject you from being my priest. Why are the people of God sick and dying? Because the priests have failed to teach God's word. That's quite a strong statement, but that's what God says. So anybody want to argue it, argue with God. But the priests have failed. Again in Malachi 2:7. For the lips of the priests should guard and preserve knowledge of my law, and the people should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But as for you, priests, you have turned from your way, and you have caused many to stumble by your instruction in the law. You have violated the covenant. That's what God says. And I think for a few weeks I've mentioned, when we look back over church history, running back from probably 300, the church has turned away, if not before, has turned away from what the Bible says. Because men weren't operating in the gifts, they said they'd stopped. It's their lack that caused it. Their lack of faith. Because they weren't operating means they don't exist. That's a bit like being an ostrich, isn't it? Yeah. They do exist. God's word says very, very clearly. And they have been operating right down the centuries. Sometimes almost underground for fear of persecution from the establishment. Things are changing, but there are still a lot of denominations don't believe in divine healing. That's not what God says. We've got God saying lack of knowledge and instruction from the pulpits is why there's so many people are sick. It hasn't been spoken out that our God is a healer. Our God can. Our God is able. Our God can do all things. But they've turned around and said, well, that's happening, so it must be right. Lack of knowledge and instruction. So much so that people don't know that God wants to heal. They still ask that question, does God want to? Well, the answer to that is yes. Categorically, undoubtedly, God wants to heal. And he's healing today. Our God is an awesome God. He's a wonderful God. Absolutely amazing. I was reading an account this week of people that were being prayed for, their heart conditions. And they were being prayed for the heart to be healed. And you know what? Pacemakers were disintegrating in their bodies. Because the hearts were being healed and they didn't need a pacemaker. Now these are facts. These aren't make-believe stories for effect. These are medically checked facts. Pacemaker disappearing. Think, wow. I read that. I had to read it twice. Think, gosh, that's what our God is capable of. But what's got to be coupled in there? Faith. Who by? The people praying and the people being prayed for. Faith. Not a big word, but such a big meaning. Faith. How wonderful is our God. Now, I'm not knocking the health service. I keep saying that because I don't want anybody to say I am. I'm not knocking the medical profession because they're wonderful. Yeah. But who's the first port of call? That's where things have got out of kilter. God says he's the first port of call. And so often, he's the last resort. When everything else has failed, oh, well, we'll try praying now, shall we? Instead of the other way around, we start praying straight away. Then we move on. Yes, because God could say, yeah, go and see the doctors. Go and see the medics. I'm not saying we don't. But let's see if our God wants to do it first. And I want to get in that place where we're seeing that more and more. First port of call, I honor you. You've said you're coming to me. I believe your faith. I trust you. And God's saying, because of your faith, I'm going to heal you now. Bang, straight away. And he will. Let's get rid of our westernized thinking. That's one of the big problems. We are so educated. We are so enlightened. The medics will do it. You go in the middle of Africa where there's no health service, God will do it. Got things round the right way. Yeah, and for us to be looking to that, yeah, that looking to God to do it. Yeah, we need to be very careful. We don't lay hold of one of the major diseases of life today. And what's that? Who can I blame? Who can I blame? It's not my fault. It's got to be somebody else's. And that's rife right across the world today. Always somebody else's fault. Who can I blame? Now, I'm not apportioning blame here in any way, but there are a number of ways sickness can come upon us. Hereditary, generational, substance abuse, sin, lifestyle. Who's burnt the candle at both ends? I have. And I know what happens when you do that for too long. Yeah. Abuses, alcohol, substance, drugs. Yeah. Lack of exercise, bad diet. And so the list goes on. And whose fault are they? Our own. You know, we blame somebody else. Oh, well, they gave me it to eat. They gave me it to drink. Yeah, maybe they did, but you took it. You know, so you see what I'm saying there? There are a number of ways sickness can come upon us. And we've got to check what we're doing. How do we respond when sickness comes? Do we believe God's word? I am the God who heals you. You know, the third reason is lack of faith-filled words. If we're not speaking correctly, Proverbs 18:21, and I'm reading it out there for Amplified. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Our words are powerful. We can create, we can build up, or we can destroy and pull down. Life and death in the power of our tongue. That's formidable for us to get hold of, but it's true. The verse carries on, and those who love it and indulge it, that's the tongue, will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. So what we're speaking out is going to cause consequences. good or bad, within ourselves. Because as we speak out, we are prophesying something into being. Jesus said in Matthew 12, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So it's not just Proverbs, it's not just Old Testament, it's Jesus saying it. It's our words will justify or condemn us. This is talking about the idle words that we speak that will condemn us. We prophesy life or death as we speak. We need to listen very carefully how we speak. What are we building up? Are we building a new stronghold by the way we speak? Yeah. Are we actually cursing ourselves or others? He's a little horror, him. Yeah. A proper monkey. Ooh, what are we speaking in? You're useless. You're a failure. You failed again. You're no good. You're worthless. All of these are curses that can be taken into here and affect the whole of our body. Yeah. How many times I can't? Well, it's difficult, but I'm going to try. That's the answer. It's different there. You're stupid. How many times do you hear that said, or have heard it said to people? No, what they've done may have been silly, but they are not stupid. There's a big difference. How much have we been shaped by the idle words that have been spoken into us, spoken over us, or we've spoken into ourselves with the idle words? Faith-filled words are very important. We're not sinners. We were sinners. When we accepted Jesus, we were and we are redeemed. Our bodies will line up with a spoken word. If you speak out over yourself you're a sinner, you will be. You'll carry on sinning and you'll get the effects of it. But if you say, "I'm redeemed," you start getting the redemption within our bodies. Our bodies will line up. God tells us we are redeemed. We've got to lay hold of it. Remember, I quoted last week from 2 Corinthians 6, where Paul was pleading with them not to receive the grace of God in vain. When God tells us something, do we doubt it? Or do we receive it and say, "Look, I am redeemed"? By grace, we are redeemed. Jesus shed his blood for us. He paid the price for us. He made himself a sacrifice for us. Through him we are reconciled. We're back in relationship with Father. We're made holy. We're lifted out of the pit of sin. And we're seated with Christ. How often do you acknowledge those things? How many times, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but it's somebody mentally. How many times do you recognize, "Thank you, Lord, I'm redeemed. Thank you, I'm reconciled. Thank you, I'm seated with you, with Jesus in the heavenly places"? And all of these positive things, we should be speaking them out to ourselves, because that builds us up, that lifts us. You see, that's very simplistic. There's loads of problems. But the problems are overcome by the words. The problems are there because of the idle words. Put them in with faith-filled words and things change round. We've been made holy. We are lifted up to seated with Jesus. We are above. We've got to get into that place. We are above looking down. We are not looking up. The giants ain't up there. The giants are there. Oh, I am redeemed. I am reconciled. I am chosen. I am a child of God. I'm an heir of God. I'm healed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm protected by the blood of the Lamb. How often do we give thanks to God for His goodness and mercy? The fourth reason, our actions don't line up with our words. Are our words faith-filled, but then we go and do different with our bodies or with what our actions are? James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. What are our actions saying about what we believe? You know, it's so easy as we're getting older to start speaking things out. You know, things, and yes, they can be true, or the effects can be there at the time, but if we keep speaking them out, I'm stiff, I can't do this, my joints have gone, whatever, as we keep speaking them out, we're actually increasing and piling up on them. Yeah? But it's to be speaking out, yes, I'm stiff at the moment, but God's going to slacken me. Yeah? And start turning it around into the positive ways. Are our words saying contrary to what we said, with the faith? Look at Abraham. God told him, I'm going to make you a father of nations. He was 75 by then. Time went on, no children. Age took its toll. But Abraham didn't say, I'm looking at my body. I'm looking at how weak I am. It's never going to happen. He believed God. He believed his God was able. His God's our God. He's still able. God wanted to know, did he truly believe him? It's an account by Smith Wigglesworth. I don't know how many know about the lady at one of the prayer meetings who had a goiter, big swelling on her neck. She went forward for prayer. And she came back and said, I'm healed. Goiter was still there. This went on. So he was back there next year. I think it was next year or whatever. Next time she went again and said, I'm healed. She still had a goiter, went forward for prayer again and said, I'm healed, proclaiming she was healed. Again, she went forward, I'm healed. And people were saying, you're daft. That goiter's got bigger. It's not healed. It's not healed at all. But she believed she was healed. And she went home and she said, Lord, I know you've healed me. Why can't you let the other people see that? Went to bed, got up next morning, was gone. Completely. She believed. Even though it looked, it was still there on her neck, she believed that God had touched her and healed her. Yes. I know I'm healed when you're going to take it away. She believed when others didn't. She could have so easily been swayed by other people saying, that's stupid, can't you see? But she said, God still healed me. She stuck on and stuck to that faith. She didn't look at the symptoms, she looked at what God had said. Paul tells us in Romans 4, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, sorry, God, in the presence of him who believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. And I think that's it. God calls things, you know, which we can't see, but God says they are. And for us to really get hold of that. Yeah. The promise hadn't come for this lady. The promise, I wasn't apparent, the promise hadn't come for Abraham. He didn't have his son. But he believed. And he carried on believing for 25 years. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider in his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. How did he do it? He was strengthened in faith by giving glory to God. He didn't let doubt get a foothold. He kept moving forward. Abraham was fully convinced what God said was true and that he would do it. Are we? I want you to ponder on that, and I want us, Sharon, to put a DVD on, and this is hot off the press. This is Charity Gale. I want you to listen to her, just a minute, keep it. I want you to listen to her testimony and the new song. Okay.
And he is ours.
And listen out for what her husband says. Okay.
I feel like I want to just share a testimony with you, because God is a healer. I said God is a healer. And he is faithful to complete what he started. Amen. So Ryan and I, we've been married for almost 4 years now, and we're actually expecting our first baby. But almost 1 year ago, I developed a lump on my neck, and I went in to the dermatologist to get it checked out, and it was a little bit suspicious, so I went in and had more tests, and I got a phone call, and they told me on the phone that it was probably lymphoma, and it kind of shocked me, because I felt like the Lord had just ushered us into this new ministry, and it just was confusing at the time. But Ryan got home, and we sat and we prayed together, and he said to me, he said, you know, no matter what doctor's appointments we walk through or whatever hospitals we have to walk through, we are going to believe the report of the Lord. And I'm thankful for a praying husband and for a God who will walk you through literally anything. And so we spent the next 2.5-3 months, it was interesting. I had to get some ultrasounds done on my neck, and I remember thinking, and I told the technician, I said, you know, I'm a little disappointed that my very first ultrasound is on my neck. And she said, yeah, but we're gonna get it taken care of. And I think it was the middle of February, we got the call that said that I did not have cancer. And I know for a fact that God delivered me from that physical ailment, but it walked us through a season that really made the songs that we write and the songs that we sing on a Sunday morning mean even that much more, because my worship and my praise unto God has even more of a declaration of who he is and who he is to us in our salvation and our healing. And so this song is called Seed of Faith, and I just want you to know that if you're walking through something right now, you know, we may have doubt, but God wants us to see that field of doubt as a planting ground for a seed of faith. And so when we plant that seed of faith in that field of doubt, All we have to do is wait for God to show up and he sends the rain. And so we pray that it blesses you. We ask God, Lord, you are a healer, you are a provider. And we pray, Jesus, right now as we offer up this song of thanksgiving and worship to you, Lord, that you would get all the glory and your people would be blessed. In the name of Jesus.